y'all. This is a new episode of Salesforce Way podcast. It's been a long while, and today I have a returning guest coming back with me. His name is Robert Sossaman. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Xi. Thanks for having me again. It's been a while.
It's been a long while. Back to the podcast. Do you remember when was the last time?
I think it was one of your first podcasts. I remember you and I, we immediately fell in love with each other because you cared so much about good code quality, clean code, and automatic code checking.
Yeah, indeed. We had the two episodes, the clean code and the PMD, right? That was okay, the 7 cool. and 8.
Cool. Yeah.
But it's been a couple of years already. So what are you up to nowadays?
Probably a boring answer like everybody else, like AI? No. Yeah. So
okay.
I'm still in the space where I was when we talked. I'm still doing Salesforce. I'm still doing AppExchange development most of my time. So I have changed jobs at the moment. I'm a principal architect at a huge Salesforce partner, Akiva Labs. SI partner, PDO partner, but I still do what I do, like caring about product development on the Salesforce platform. So that's my main job. And as Akiva is really a great and innovative company, I spend like the last year or a bit more when was GPT-4, when did it came out, like over a year ago, I'm doing a lot of like AI experimentation, you know, how can we use it internally? How can we make use of AI for our customers? And yeah, and when I say experimentation, I really mean like internal projects with people who are not in projects. So that's really like the cool thing of my last year that I had the chance to actually lead such projects. We open source stuff I would tell you.
So I guess you changed the company. The company now is Akiva Labs, right?
Yes.
The company wants to invest a bit in the AI side to do some experimentations. And you also personally are passionate about this.
Exactly. Okay. So our like management and our founders immediately, you know, you probably remember when GPT-4 came out, it was absolutely crazy. Like everybody was in the middle of, ah, this is shit, it doesn't work, or it will like kill our jobs, destroy humankind. And we were in the middle of this and thought, will it like destroy the company or help us a lot? And so we thought, to actually find this out, we have to make a concerted effort. So we got together like a bunch of people and we created a temporary AI task force. And we thought, you know, we have to do many things. We need to think about how we can use it in the company, you know, like ethics, guidelines for people on how to use those new tools and when to use them. But we also said we need to actually build something, you know. Build small apps. We need to use it in the space we actually play all the time, like creating Salesforce apps or helping customers. And yeah, and then we basically created multiple apps. We even released them on the AppExchange or made them open source. And yeah, that was very cool because it was a very different kind of how you make projects. You know, normal projects, they need a longer planning phase. They have huger teams with Q&A and product owners. And, you know, many of our projects are really long and heavy when it comes to processes. And here we really just had like me as an architect, two developers, sometimes maybe a quality engineer. But we saw the experimentation, you know, small projects where you just basically do a proof of concept or an MVP. Is so great for learning because stop when you have enough, you just take the people who are currently, we say, on the bench, you know, not in billable projects. And I really fall in love into this way of like working. I mean, it's luxury because it's often not paid projects, but I think we also can learn from from those projects for maybe customer projects, you know? Sometimes customers have to pay a lot and define a lot, and maybe when you do really small and lean and pragmatic experimentation, you can get stuff done much faster.
Yeah, that sounds exactly the same as programming. We learn programming from non-commercial product, open source, similar things like that.
This is why people do open source, because you can just do it, you know? You don't have to get approval for it. You do it, you have time, you don't get money for it, so it feels very different. And I really, you know, in this year, many, many developers in Akiva and many people in Akiva worked in those internal projects. And especially developers said, I loved it. I loved this way of working. You know, I spent 90% of my time programming. Mm-hmm. Communication was very lean. There was no meetings. There was no politics and bullshit. And, you know, I'm not naive. I know that those things need to be there, but you really see people smiling and being more happy when they do something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and my hope is that this is not like playing versus real world, but maybe we can actually learn on how to get more fun and more experimentation into.
Definitely, I want to hear what you have learned, you know, pros and cons or different stuff. So those are really like the meat. But before going into those details, did you focus more on the Salesforce AI, or is it like the AI in the industry?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because, you know, when we today say everybody's doing AI, I know we're standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, what we use in AI, even when we say we do development, it's just the good stuff which the smart people in Silicon Valley and stuff have done. You know, even my dad in the 70s has like his doctor thesis, or how is it called? He even worked on neural networks. So I know that this stuff is really going far back, but what we did was AI for Salesforce. I mean, we did AI, you know, we looked at AI that we can use for our own work, you know, Copilot for development, for writing documents and specifications, but we also looked into how to put it into apps, into Salesforce apps. Mm. But the problem was, you know, a year ago, there was nothing. There was no Einstein Studio, no Model Builder, no Copilot. Salesforce had a lot of nice announcement as always, but there was nothing. So what we had to do was basically build our own AI on top of OpenAI, AWS, but make use of it in Apex and Flow, you know? As I said, so we really built AppExchange packages. We really built Salesforce app. So we did not do arbitrary Python development on Hugging Face, or, you know, it was always, how can we actually build something for Salesforce customers?
Right. Well, we have those AI tools. How can we combine with the Salesforce business scenarios to help us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, well, what I'm going to tell you, I'm also preparing, or I nearly have prepared my conference talk in Berlin in May. There is the first Salesforce community event ever, you know, and I have a session there, and I will talk in detail about what we built, what we learned with demos. So I even recently, not sure if you saw that on Salesforce Ben, there was a quite lengthy article by me, which is basically also covering that, like, what we learned.
Yeah, I will put that article in our show notes for sure.
Cool. Yeah.
And now, if you may teach me what you have learned, where to start?
You know, there's many details which I cannot even summarize in a podcast. But the bigger answer is AI is hard. You know, AI is hard. We Salesforce people, even people like you and me who do this for a while, are architect. We are in a quite easy state. You know, Salesforce is not the big computer science stuff. Salesforce is really easy with low code, and a lot of pains are taken from us by the platform. And this is why we are mostly on the platform, because we are more interested in actually getting business value than nerding around. And when you look at AI, especially custom AI, it's really hard. You have to look at all those places that we have not looked for so many years as Salesforce developers. You know, I can just tell you that, you know, we built one app which was really just native Salesforce app using ChatGPT API. Mm-hmm. And then we struggled with the size of the context window, you know, because we wanted to work on more text. And then we looked into vector databases and RAG, retrieval augmented generation. And then we had to learn about AWS and Google Cloud and so much stuff. And this was so complicated. And it was so different from normal Salesforce development, which is very restricted and expensive. But you know how it works and where it doesn't work. And with all those more complicated platforms of platform technologies, it's really you feel like you are a student in the first grade, you know. So this is my learning. Don't underestimate AI in general. It's still complicated. It's still like a ground where the really smart people play. Mm-hmm. It's very different than Salesforce. And the second learning is, you know, in this year we have built apps, and most of those apps can actually be replaced by native Salesforce stuff now. You know, you will see it in my article. I think at the end I'm talking about this. Salesforce has over the month announced things which will basically replace all this custom code. You know, the coolest latest app we have built is like, it's called My Org Butler. It's a small utility bar, lightning component in your Salesforce org. And there's a little butler and you can ask questions, you know, what should I work on today? Which opportunity is burning? Or you can say, yeah, create me a task or remind me in 2 weeks to do X, Y, Z. So really cool. And currently it's not replaceable totally by Salesforce, but Salesforce, you know, at TDX announced copilots and copilot actions. And it's basically exactly that. So if you are a customer who buys Copilot and has it in an org, I would recommend to not use custom stuff because it's so much simpler. And there are other things, you know, one app, ask your document, you know, you can basically put in a 500 page contract or specification in your Salesforce org and then ask questions about this document. And to do that, we really had to work on an AWS-driven backend with a vector database and had to learn a lot. And Salesforce just said, oh, yeah, Data Cloud will also have a vector database and you can do semantic search and documents. You know, all of that will have a price tag at Salesforce, but one day it will just be there.
Robert, from what you just mentioned, I heard that your experiments, the three apps you built in AppExchange, those things were really concrete business cases because all the other industries, they're using this, right? You upload the document you want, just get the AI to support you to answer questions around that document. It's been there already.
That was the goal that we... you know, in the beginning, we also put a lot of effort and people in it. And we thought if we build something, it must be usable for us in the company. There must be a chance that maybe customers might buy it, or at least we can put it on the AppExchange for free and get some marketing benefits. And yes, that was the case. So when we thought about what we built, we looked at business needs in Akiva. And
but it's also risk, because all the other big companies are building the same thing. Salesforce also sooner or later want to build the same thing.
Yes.
Right. And but it's happening.
You're right. But we knew that, and we revisited our decision to do that again and again. You know, the difference is you can wait for Salesforce to just bring you and then you use it and don't understand it. But we understand all that stuff, you know. I can, like in Akiva, there's nobody who will say, oh, how does this Copilot work, or what is a vector database, or why doesn't it work as I thought? Because we now have really a lot of people with quite deep understanding of AI concepts. You know, to do that, we really had to watch online courses about all that stuff. And we think that is a benefit in today's world. We are not only users, we actually understand what it is. You know, when you get a data lake from Salesforce and don't understand what a data lake is in comparison to a relational database, you might struggle with it. And that's even more true with AI concepts.
Right.
Yeah, last sentence maybe, you know, as a big company, when customers come to Akiva and say we want some AI in our org or in our app, we probably recommend them to use native stuff. But if they say I don't want to do that because that's too expensive, we need to build it. And to do that, we actually had to do it for ourselves.
Right. Well, it's really good to hear. I mean, as a software engineer, we know by heart, only by hands-on, to trial and error, see the things that are compiling, are configured successfully, then you know you really understand how things will done. Otherwise, if you just call in the API and get the answers, then it's a black box for you.
Yeah, and this is even more true in a hype technology, you know, because internet is full of, oh, this will change everything. This is so disruptive. And, you know, you have seen it, all those tools which replace us coders, replace the developer. It's most of that stuff is way too much. You know, it's just not true. And if you believe that, and customers will believe that, you know, business people, they will just take it for granted. And if you, as a provider of solutions or of software, cannot really argument and say no, this actually doesn't work, or at least not as good as you think, then you are
we are in Salesforce ecosystem, we know what marketing slogan means.
Exactly. But I think it's everywhere, you know.
Right. But on top of that, what is the current status of AI in Salesforce? Actually, I didn't really follow that closely. I know there were a lot of announcements. Is it already coming? Is it released?
Yes. You know, Salesforce was always early jumping onto things. So many people who see those AI announcements, they say, hey, Robert, this is like always with Salesforce. You know, they announce something and then it takes 100 years to actually get. But my impression was Salesforce really changed the way they work. You know, AI isn't new for them. You know, they in 2016, I think they hired this German wunderkind, Richard Socher, who created those first Einstein things, you know, next best actions and sentiment AI. So I think they have watched the space. And when GPT-4 came out, they really immediately announced stuff. And then also immediately delivered. You know, I remember like last Dreamforce, we immediately got our hands dirty with this trust layer. You know, you could basically talk to GPT, but in a safe way. And we did pilots for customers who presented at Dreamforce. Yeah, and since then, they really bring things out. You know, most of the stuff, it's in beta and then it's there. You can buy it. So I really believe that Salesforce has speed up, and I think they understand that people will move away from Salesforce if they don't deliver. You know, because Salesforce highly competes with everything AI, because Salesforce is about do your business, the rest is simple. You know, no software. So low code, you know, that's all the promise of. You can actually focus on what's relevant, the customer, not on the tech stuff. So I believe that Salesforce really put all the energy in making those AI things work. And when you look at the release notes, you see things like Prompt Builder, GA, Model Builder, Bring Your Own Model. You know, it all feels a little bit crafty. I'm not sure if that's the right word. You know, when you look at it, it works, but it some polishing, but at least it's there. So I think the scope, the features they give, it's very wide. So it's really a lot of stuff.
Okay. It sounds to me is that definitely AI is in a high priority list item.
Yes, absolutely.
And also it's wide. You mentioned maybe there are a lot of announcements. Maybe in the end, only a couple of them will survive.
It's everywhere. You know, AI is important for all the apps, you know, for service. What I think Salesforce is in the low-code market, which means more people can build software, more people can do stuff. And I think AI is the new big low-code thing. You know, forget Flow. Why should people even draw stuff, you know? We all know that Flow is often worse or not much better than actually coding. But AI is the real low-code. So honestly, I think Flow will actually go away as the number one concept that people have in mind when they think of Salesforce low-code. And all those assistants, you know, all these generate me here, generate me there, you know, prompts, co-pilots, assistants. That's the new thing. In the future, you will not draw your business process. You will just, you know, dictate it. You will talk to your assistant and it will make it work. That's and it will be maybe as bad as Flow, but
yeah. You know, I'm an old style programmer here. I think before ChatGPT was announced, I spent some time to learn the AI stuff, the Python programming to build the, what's it called, the PyTorch or those.
This is a book I bought like three, four years. Python learning.
What is it? Python machine learning. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But for me, AI is like not in my personal habit. For example, when I'm programming, I know there's the copilots that can help you to build some boilerplate code, but I really never really have that habit of doing that. So on your end, what do you think on those AI assistants for programmers?
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm not jumping too fast to a different topic.
No, absolutely. I was thinking, what should I tell you? The first thing I wanted to tell you, please do it. Please don't think that you can get over it. You know, like a month ago when everybody was saying we will all be replaced by AI, there was this wonderful saying, you will not be replaced in your job by AI, but by somebody who's using AI. I really feel it. You will not be able to do your job, especially in Salesforce, when you say, I don't care about this AI stuff, you know? You should not, like a lemming, just follow the copilot and let all your code generate for you. That's also dangerous because you will have more bad code and more maintainability problems. But if you're not able to, like, save a little bit of work here, delegate a little bit of work there, you will not be able to compete with developers who do it. So, and that leads me to the other thing. I'm very skeptic. I don't see that those copilots generate good enough code. And I also don't see that it's fun to work with them. It's often very risky. You know, they give you wrong answers in a very non-obvious way. So it will take you longer to actually find the problems. But nonetheless, you need to train it. And I can really tell you that, especially in the last month, you know, in the month before, I was just skeptical and basically ignored it or played with ChatGPT or Copilot and was very disappointed. But now I see myself use it as like a pairing partner more and more. You know, when I write a blog article, I give it material and let it draft for me. And then I see, oh, this is so terrible. Or I let it write some code or I show it my code and ask what's the problem. So I would say that I use forms of generative AI nearly daily in private life, but also in work life. And I would say per week, it saves me between half a day or a full day, so a lot.
Mm.
3 months ago, I would have said, I don't need it.
You mentioned a writing document like a blog or some technical spec, and you also mentioned the programming. These two things, I definitely can see the benefits. Do you have some other examples that you definitely used?
Yeah, I mean, it's understanding stuff, you know, like taking documents and finding stuff, you know, for example, in the just it's a stupid example, but in the past, I really like scrolled through the full Salesforce release notes of all the 500 pages.
Okay.
And I just like load it into our SQ document and say, what's about Scratch orgs or something? So, you know, understanding. I also use it for analyzing data, you know, sometimes, you know, from customers, we get like Excel sheets with things and with GPT-4 plus, you know, when you pay for it, you can really analyze data, you know, or you can put log files in or, yeah. So I also use it to make sense out of a lot of information. So I even have like a local LLM vector database. You know, when I get stuff from customers, I just put all the documents we get in there. And then I say, is there anything in it about XYZ? And then I get like an answer. And I use it, I do less Google searches. I have basically the ChatGPT open all day.
Is it ChatGPT 4 or is it the free version? Okay.
Before with web crawling and I say, yeah, what do you think? Even when yesterday I finished a book about like Python learning and I said, hey, make me a table with all the difference between Apex and Python, you know.
Okay.
And it was good. It was really like having a person next to you with whom you can just make arbitrary discussions about anything.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and I know that I was very skeptical myself, and I want to tell you that the more you say you don't need it, the less you will do it.
Mm.
But actually should constantly like play with it and think about it and give it a second chance, a third chance, and then you will actually see that you get much more efficient with it.
Thank you. I'll definitely take this advice. I will try it. Maybe I should start with paying the ChatGPT 4 version.
I think it's worth like those $20. You know, I wouldn't pay the money for Copilot because I'm not a programmer and I think I wouldn't need it. But ChatGPT Plus is really worthwhile.
Got it. Thanks, Robert. Before letting you go, I still have one more thing to ask. I know the PMD has reached a new version 7.
There were some
breaking news is from there too, right?
Totally. Thanks for asking that because, you know, I think that was how we got to know each other and I'm still very active in that respect. Not writing code, but, you know, last year I was doing a lot of conference talks and the most interesting thing is that actually Salesforce is way more active, you know. Salesforce, you know, they have the code scanner, which should eventually fully replace checkmarks and all the other tools which are required for AppExchange partners. And the code scanner is using PMD. So Salesforce already was active, like using it and promoting it. But now they actually have teams which contribute to PMD, you know? Something very important has changed in PMD 7. We now have an open source Apex parser. And that's, you know, that might sound very esoteric, but when I ported PMD to Apex from Java, I was not able to write my own parser. So I knew that's too hard. So I took a closed source parser from the Eclipse IDE. And that was always a pain because, you know, people could not, when the language got a new feature, nobody could actually enhance it. We had to wait for Salesforce. And what happened in the recent years since we talked, like really smart people from Google and Financial Force, they built open source Apex parsers. And now in version 7, it got replaced. So PMD now even has a fully open source Apex parser.
Do you use the Kevin Jones?
Yeah, parser? Kevin Jones from Financial Force and another guy from Google who's now with OpenAI. They they build like, yeah, we have two Apex parsers now in PMD, which are open source. And, you know, and for Salesforce to actually embrace that, that was a lot of like convincing work. But, you know, now Salesforce really said, hey, we will contribute to PMD when the new language feature of Apex comes out. You know, a lot of stuff happens, like the null coalescing thing operator, or, you know, the thing that you can add to SQL statements to make them safe, you know, the user mode, system mode. Whenever something is introduced into Apex, PMD has to understand it. And that is much better now. And I'm really thankful for Salesforce to have given the commitment that they not only use PMD, but also like give back. They will contribute. I think they just started to sponsor PMD even money wise. And that makes me very happy, because that's the goal, that they don't need me anymore.
Yeah, it's really good to hear. But other than the parser side, do we have any like user facing features announced for 7?
I mean,
or too many?
Since you and I talked, it has been a while. So what I did last year was basically telling the world that you can use PMD to scan everything, you know, not only Apex, because that's what people don't know. You can scan your permission sets, your profiles, your custom fields, your flows with PMD, and you can write your own rules without actually programming Java. That was really something which I would say the Salesforce ecosystem didn't understand. So I really made a lot of sessions about how to, you know, custom rules with XPath.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have seen that.
Yes.
So
yes.
You basically all Salesforce metadata, all Apex can be observed by PMD. Mm. And this is a big thing.
All right. Yeah. Maybe one day you have an AI supported in the PMD.
Yeah, and in the beginning, I really found that ChatGPT sometimes finds more issues in code than PMD.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be the other way around. You know, when I talked to Chris Peterson and Daniel Baylinger from the Apex team on Dreamforce, they said they want to have PMD to actually control that the quality of auto-generated, AI-generated code and metadata is still good, you know? So not AI replacing PMD, PMD actually as a safeguard to prevent that AI is creating messy stuff.
All right. One last question. If people want to learn more about using PMD to create the custom rules, those XPath, I mean, those things need a bit the learning curve to build your own custom rules. So where should they go to learn this stuff?
I mean, they should follow me and check my LinkedIn and Twitter. And if they're, you know, most of the things have been recorded. But I also created a custom GPT. You know, you can basically create a ChatGPT for yourself. And I created, which helps people with PMD. You know, you can basically ask it a question, you know. It's like a virtual Robert. I will give you the link and maybe you can put it in your show notes.
I'll put it in the show notes. Thanks for that.
it has my talks, it has instructions on how to tell people.
Wow. Excellent place to close the session. We're coming back to the AI again.
Right. Saying that you don't need me anymore. There's a virtual.
Thanks, Robert. That's all.
Hey,
thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
See you next time. Yeah.